You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Good to be with you as well. I'm excited that we're kind of in this, is it a mini series with Keller? I don't know what exactly to call it, but I like it. Really, I like it. This is helpful stuff.
Yeah. So if you missed episode 251, you're going to want to go back and download that, because that's where Tim Keller begins to talk about these five trends that he sees in urban cities. He starts off just talking about re-urbanization, and we had a great discussion on that after he finished his talk. But actually, let's get straight into his next 2 points on these trends that he sees in urban cities and how this relates to church planting, multi-site multiplication, and really whether you're planting in the city, living in the city, or you're in suburbia or in a rural area. These talks are so insightful because, come on, it's Tim Keller, right? All right, so let's listen in.
The word is almost completely negative. If you ask a person what gentrification is, it means rising prices in the neighborhood that pushes out the poor. Now, the problem with that definition, and if you go online or you just read some books, you'll see that there's a tremendous amount of controversy about this whole, it's a very complex issue. There's not a lot of consensus about what's going on here. But here's, I'm going to tell you why, in general, gentrification is bad, or at least it's something we have to work against. But keep this in mind. If you go into a poor neighborhood and you try to improve the school at all, or if you try to make the streets safer at all, you are gentrifying. Because you're going to, because that will be a more desirable place to live, and as a result, it'll become less affordable. You know that. And so you see the problem with using the word gentrification as a complete negative is that then you're really just totally, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Now, what does happen very often, without any kind of controls, is hipsters move into a neighborhood. Why? They think it's cool, it's gritty, they like the grittiness, and it's affordable. Immediately after that come retail, shops and stores and restaurants that cater to the hipsters, but are actually already too unaffordable for most of the poor people in the neighborhood. Then what happens is more middle-class people go there. And by the way, this isn't necessarily a matter of race, as you know. Any middle-class people in a poor neighborhood, they actually know how to get things done. So they get the schools improved. They, they work for safer streets, and it becomes more desirable. And next thing you know, it just turns over, and it becomes a middle-class or upper-middle-class place, and all the poor are just pushed out. Now, what do you do about that? Especially when the reason, and some of you got quiet when I said it, as soon as you realize that in some ways gentrification is inevitable if you ever want to help a neighborhood at all, then what do you do? What's the alternative? And the answer is pretty tough. See, there's a lot of reasons for gentrification. One of them actually is that we don't have enough housing for everybody. When I talk to urban planners and people like that, saying, well, why? Why are prices going up? Why are so many people getting pushed out? You know Ferguson, Missouri, right? And those of you who might be from St. Louis. Ferguson, Missouri in 1970 was 99.9% white and middle class, and now it's 67% African American and very poor. Why? That was a suburb, wasn't it? Yeah, but these were people pushed out of St. Louis. They're pushed out of their old urban neighborhoods. And this is what happens. So what do you do about that? And what happens when somebody decides, oh, you know, the houses are kind of cool in Ferguson, too. You know, the older housing, it's an inner suburb, older housing stock, very attractive to hipsters. What are we going to do then? And probably the only answer is, and it's not a good, I mean, it's not an easy answer, is an enormous amount of cooperation by absolutely everybody. You've got, there's got to be government, of course, but there's got to be grassroots neighborhood associations, and institutions like schools and unions and churches and mosques and synagogues. And then, of course, you also have to have the companies and developers, and they've all got to get together. And what they've got to do, this would be the ideal, this would be the ideal, and that is you need to have mixed income neighborhoods and everybody eventually finds an affordable home. But what you have is you essentially have mixed income neighborhoods. The poor are redistributed throughout the city rather than all warehoused in one spot. And you realize what that would take. It takes an awful lot of work, and in general, everybody's failing at it. But here's what you need to keep in mind is the bright side, by the way, is a lot of people are actually leaving the big cities to go to smaller cities like Akron, Ohio, and they're actually helping those cities, if there is a bright side. But the main point is, and you're going to say, well, what's the solution? The answer is, I don't know what the solution is. I mean, actually, nobody knows what the solution is. But any church in a city that is not studying this problem and working on this problem, doing absolutely every single thing it possibly can do to contribute to the solution to the problem, it's not aware of its setting. I'm here to give you the trends and why churches have to address these things. And so you've got to be extremely aware of gentrification. Number three, metropolitanization. Now this is a short point because I just talked about it. What is a metropolitan area? We all know, here's the New York City, and here's the metro area. Here's Chicago, and here's what, Chicagoland, you call the whole metro area Chicagoland? Okay, well, in the old days, cities would annex, right, the county, and the actual boundaries of the city would get bigger and bigger. That's not what's happening anymore, partly because politically, the surrounding neighborhoods are and counties, they know how to push back on that. But the reality is that the suburbs are becoming urbanized. That is to say, the suburbs and the towns and everything in the metroplex is becoming more multi-ethnic. I mean, gone are the days where all the non-white people lived in the city and they were poor, and all the white people lived in the suburbs and they were wealthy. That's over. Because what's happening, of course, I just gave you an example in Ferguson, Missouri. What's happening is that for various reasons, the cities are becoming very hard to afford. And now what's going on is people are moving out into places that are more affordable. So the suburbs are multi-ethnic, and the suburbs have a lot of poor people in them. Now, what some people say is, aha, I'm so glad to hear Tim Keller finally admit that instead of just reaching cities, we need to reach the suburbs. Finally. I've been waiting for years for him to say that. Yeah, okay, good. I'm glad. I mean, I'm an oldest son, I'm an oldest child. I want to make people happy. It's been in me since I was, a child. But you need to realize what this means. What it doesn't mean, don't go to, what it means is the suburbs are getting urbanized, which means urban ministry skills are needed all through the metroplex. See? It does mean, yeah, you don't just reach center cities, no. And if you only think, you have to reach the center city, no. But the fact of the matter is, the urban skills, we'll talk about this after the Q&A, I'll give you some. It's the skills that people use in the city you will now need everywhere in the metroplex, everywhere. And so people who are trying to do business as usual, everybody out here is white, everybody out here is middle class, they're just not going to reach their suburbs or even their towns. They're just not. So metropolitanization, the idea that cities in a sense, urban dynamics dominate the entire metroplex increasingly. And even though people are not always necessarily moving into the center city because they're so incredibly expensive, they are tending to move to the metroplexes. So the rural areas are diminishing and the metroplexes are growing, but not necessarily cities. So when somebody says, well, let's take a look, and you're defining the demographic, people are defining city as someone inside the city limit, maybe last year the cities didn't grow as much as they did 5 years ago, which I think is probably right because of the affordability problem, but the metroplexes are growing.
So trend number 2 and 3 out of the 5 are gentrification and metropolitanization. So it's funny, the first time I heard that word metropolitanization, I thought of Neapolitan ice cream.
Wow. There's times when I wonder why I'm on this podcast with you. So anyway.
Yeah. All right. So in regards to gentrification, it was just fascinating the observation he made when he was like, hey, if you're trying to make the school better or make the street safer, you're actually part of gentrification. And he didn't really, share a solution to it. right, to how churches should deal with gentrification other than really to encourage us to study it. What are some of your thoughts on how church planters and pastors should be responding to gentrification?
Yeah, and I guess part of the thing is that I think they should work to better their communities. And so I don't think that always is going to lead to gentrification in the way that we usually think about it. Now, that's a lot of caveats, always and usually. So, but I do think that that our desire is to make communities better. I think when we think of gentrification, maybe we ought to think in terms of gentrification that, as he said, it's often, it can be positive, but we only think of it negatively. And so what I think his point is right is that we do acknowledge that bettering a community causes people to be attracted to it. Yeah. Now, what I would say is we can also defend the rights and care for people who might be impacted negatively by that as well.
Yeah. I mean, part of that savior, you know, coming in on a white stallion language where you're going into a poorer neighborhood and saying, hey, we're going to clean this up and we're going to change this and we're going to transform this for the sake of this city, for the sake of the gospel. I mean, some of that savior-ish type of language can actually alienate those who need, those who've been there for so long, those who are being gentrified out. Right. So part of it is when you do move into an area, whether it be a starting a ministry or a core, sending a core team there, or planting a church or a campus, you need to be aware of, okay, yes, let's reach the hipsters if that's what God is calling. I mean, you need to reach everyone there, right? Not just the hipsters, but the poor, those who can't give a tithe, those who can't, contribute offering because they are living there. And if God's called you to reach that part of the city, you got to reach everyone there, right?
Yeah, and I think that's key. I think ways to build bridges across racial, socioeconomic, and other divides are really going to be key. And I do think one of the challenges is a lot of church plants, particularly urban church plants. Now, again, I planted in the urban core of Buffalo, New York. We weren't hipsters. We weren't gentrified. We were the poor people that couldn't get out. And it was multicultural, not because I had some brilliant multicultural trick, but because ultimately it was just people who couldn't get out of the neighborhood, and the neighborhood was just that bad. It was the crack epidemic. It was bad. Mm. So what I would say is if everyone who wants to plant in the city basically wants to plant the new white affluent people moving in and reach them, I think ultimately that we ought to kind of check our hearts. I mean, God's doing some wonderful, powerful things in the city. And we want to join him in that, but he's already at work there. And so our call, our cause is ultimately to plant churches that care for all the people. And there are church, don't understand, I don't want to caricature. There are some really wonderful church plants that are doing that very thing and working really hard to make that happen.
Yeah, totally. Especially the newer ones that we're seeing, not to say anything about those who are already in the city, but the newer ones that I see being planted, you know, having been planted in the last couple of years, I really see that more of a holistic outreach and holistic perspective being brought into their perspective on the city. So that's really hopeful there as Keller was kind of talking about those trends. Now, the second trend he mentioned was metropolitanization and just the fact of how suburbs are getting urbanized. So urban skills are required in the entire metroplex. Right, so there. Let me just quickly mention some of the urban skills that Tim mentions in his other talk. And if you want to listen to that talk in its entirety, that's available for all Plus members on newchurches.com. So be sure to check the show notes, and you'll see a little bit more about Plus membership. And if you are a Plus member, where to access that. But here are a few of those skills. First one is the deep awareness of multi-ethnicity, and how you feel about each other, how ethnicities feel about one another. Another skill is the integration of faith and work. And another one is just the whole idea of evangelism, but how evangelism is very complex, right? So I love this thing that he said. If you think evangelism is just a presentation or a booklet or a set time, then you aren't urban. Because that's not how evangelism works in the urban context. So yeah. It's really cool. I mean, what are some of your thoughts around that?
Yeah, I think I really liked some of the things that he shared. I think of the complexity of the setting and the situation. You know, I mean, I live in a, I guess they call it a dense suburb, western suburbs of Chicago. I work some here. I work here at Wheat College, but then I'll be at Moody Church and do some work with Moody Radio, things of that sort. And so you can very much feel the difference. And even in the way you talk to people, when I talk to somebody some old town Chicago. I mean, very different conversation, very different feel to the way people think and the way people interact. And I think that's hard for people to sort of get used to, is what that ultimately looks like. I heard somebody say once that pretty much everyone's going to assume that urban believers, even urban evangelical, even urban conservative evangelical believers, are liberal because of the way, I mean, just the way sometimes they interact with other people. Well, I don't know that that's the case. I think being cosmopolitan does not make you theologically aberrant, but it does make you maybe tolerate and other views more easily and focus and have conversations in different ways. So I think ultimately that's a good thing. It's a good skill. And that's what he's emphasizing here, is some of the different skills.
The next time that Ed and I are together on episode 255, we're going to be looking at the last two trends, which are the vanishing neighbor and polarization. So be sure to tune into that one. And if you have not yet subscribed to our podcast, be sure to do that as well.